fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
Hey, Molly. Still practicing, I see.
Yep. I'm thinking of heading down to the field to review my marching steps. I want to be so familiar with my drum solo at the game Saturday that I could do it in my sleep. Check it out. Eyes closed. Oof. Guess I'm not there yet.
Don't worry. I'm sure you'll be wide awake with your eyes open for your drum solo.
Thanks, Max.
Go ahead. Pick a card. Any card. You see before you a standard deck of playing cards. Go ahead. Any card.
Wait, what are we doing?
It's a sweet magic trick Aunt Murgatroyd showed me. Not only will it blow your mind, but it'll take your mind off your performance. Pick a card.
I don't know. Magic tricks are cool and all, but then I obsess over how they're done.
Oh, wow. Can you just relax for a minute and let the magic happen? I'm trying to help with your stress. Now go ahead and pick a card.
Okay. This one.
Great. Now take a look, but don't show me.
Okay.
Now put it back in the deck.
Okay.
Okay. Now tell me. What are the chances that I can name the card you picked?
Well, if you were guessing at random, since there are 52 cards in a deck, it would be 1 in 52.
And what's that converted to a percentage?
To convert a fraction to a percentage, you multiply your fraction by 100, then reduce it. In this case, we'd have 1 over 52 times 100 over 1, which equals 100 over 52. That division is pretty tricky.
Uh-huh.
But if we tweak it a little and do 100 over 50, that equals 2. So the percentage chance would be a little less than 2%. Let me check my calculator to confirm. 100 over 52 equals 1.923%.
That's a pretty low percent. So was your card the 9 of clubs?
Whoa, how did you do that?
Magic.
Oh, come on. I'm stressed enough over my drum solo. Now this card trick is going to nag at me.
All right, all right. I marked the card with my thumb when you put it in the deck. And then, while you were distracted doing all that math, I peeked at it.
That's actually a pretty good trick.
Feel better?
I think so. Oh, yeah. Much better.
Awesome. And if you thought that card trick was cool, you should have seen the tricks Aunt Em was pulling off. She had me pick a card, let me shuffle the deck myself, and then somehow she made the card appear in my pocket.
It wouldn't surprise me if Aunt Em were an actual wizard, although she was kind of a goofball when we met her back in the 70s.
No kidding. Hey!
What?
There's another card in my pocket. How did that get there?
Is it the card you picked with Aunt Em earlier?
No.
It's not my card, is it?
No. That was the 9 of clubs. This is the Joker.
Why so serious, problem solvers?
Whoa!
I don't believe it. The Joker in the card is talking.
Yep, she's a wizard, all right.
Nope, not a wizard. But I am here with a problem solver update. We received the translation of Nostradamus' papers from Problem Solver HQ. It seems there are notes on his prediction methods for his 1557 almanac.
What would the Pogs want with prediction methods from the 16th century?
Good question. None of the problem solvers have been able to figure out why the power-hungry Pogs are interested in Nostradamus' prediction methods. However, we do know that your new English teacher, Mr. Avogadro, comes from a long line of moles. So please, keep an eye on him, and I'll get back to you once we learn more about the Pog prediction plans.
I can't believe Aunt Em made the Joker in the card talk.
Not only that, but it wasn't a recording. Which means she may have heard me call her a goofball before. Oh, no.
Don't worry about it. Besides, we have bigger problems if Mr. Avogadro is a mole working for the Pogs. What is up with our teachers? First, Mr. Conklin's a troll. Now this guy.
Hey, we don't know if Mr. A is a mole. We only know that his parents were moles.
And their parents were moles. And their parents were moles all the way back to the 16th century.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm gonna head to the field to practice my drum solo and clear my head.
Good thinking. I'll join you. I can work on my corner kicks. Hey, what's with all the yellow caution tape?
I'm guessing the field is closed?
You said it, lassie. The field is closed. Good as a mole infestation. Buggers tore up my field with their tunnels.
That's strange. Or is it?
I have a feeling they've infested the school, too.
They have? I better call the principal. I'm gonna need a bigger bag.
No, it was just a hunch.
A hunch, aye? Me grandma had a hunch once, steep as the cliffs of St. John's Head. I can't remember if it ever came true or not. I'll have to give her a call.
I guess practice is cancelled.
Have you ever heard of moles infesting a soccer field?
No, but we are at a new school, and we did get a mole in my mom's garden once.
I highly doubt this was a coincidence. Someone didn't want us on the soccer field.
Or they did want groundskeeper Billy on the soccer field.
Yeah, but if the Pogs moles are so sneaky, why would they use real moles as a distraction? Isn't that too obvious?
Maybe that's what they want us to think. If we know that they know that we know they wouldn't be so obvious, then they know that we know that they...
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I confuse myself.
And it's only getting more confusing. Look!
Is that Mr. Avogadro and Mr. Zimmer having an animated conversation in the teacher parking lot?
Yep.
What would an English teacher and a band teacher have to talk about?
I don't know. Come on. Let's sneak over and see if we can hear what they're saying. Okay, I think this is close enough.
Mission.
Finally, boss managed to show them these fellas today first.
I still can't make out what they're saying.
Let's move one car closer. Now.
So, do you have the notes?
Yes, I think you'll find them very interesting.
Nostradamus' notes?
What else? Keep listening.
Good. You know, I was thinking...
Whoops, shouldn't have had chili for lunch.
Max, they heard your fart. They're looking over here.
They turned back. Phew.
Anyway, I hope you can make it to the next meeting.
So do I. I love the work you're doing.
Take care.
You too. Bye.
They're gone.
How do these pog moles handle all this sneaking around?
And how are they so good at getting teaching jobs?
And I thought I was stressed before. My stomach is in knots.
Same.
You're having a stress ache?
Nah, I think I'm just hungry. Don't get me wrong, chips and ice cream are great, but sometimes nothing beats the raisiny, peanut buttery, crunchy goodness of ants on a log.
Which you've managed to turn into seafood.
Now you see it, now you don't.
That was gross, thank you.
The key to great ants on a log is the right ratio of raisins to peanut butter to celery, which I found to be 3 to 1/2 to 1.
3 to 1.5 to 1 of what?
Raisins, peanut butter, and celery, of course.
I understand the 3 raisins part, but what is the 1/2 peanut butter? And for celery, that's what? 1 stalk, 1 bundle, 1 slice?
Oh, I see. My units of measurement are a little all over the place. For me, each raisin counts as 1. For peanut butter, it's tablespoons. And for celery, it's inches per stalk.
Okay, so your perfect bite of ants on a log requires 3 raisins per every 1/2 tablespoon of peanut butter per 1 inch of celery.
Correct. That is Max's AOAL law. AOAL stands for ants on a log.
Yes, I figured.
I bet we can fit 16 bites of ants on a log on 1 plate.
That would compute to 16 times 3 raisins, 16 times 1/2 tablespoons of peanut butter, and 16 times 1 inches of celery.
See? I knew if I made it mathy, you'd be into it. And yes.
Great, let's add it up. 16 times 3 raisins breaks down to 10 times 3 plus 6 times 3.
3 times 10 equals 30, and 3 times 6 equals 18. 30 plus 18 equals 48 raisins.
16 times 1/2 tablespoon of peanut butter equals 16 over 1 times 1 over 2, which gives you 16 over 2, which equals 8 tablespoons of peanut butter.
And 16 times 1-inch slices of celery equals 16 1-inch slices of celery.
So a plate full of ants on a log requires 48 raisins, 8 tablespoons of peanut butter, and 16 1-inch slices of celery. See? Isn't math fun?
It is when it comes to snack time. I wonder how many raisins and how much peanut butter we need for an entire bunch of celery.
Max requesting more math? That's a surprise. Shall we figure it out?
Nah, I was just trying to de-stress you a little. See, it worked.
It did. Of course, I still want to know what Mr. Avogadro and Mr. Zimmer were talking about in the parking lot.
Seems pretty obvious to me. What I want to know is why were the Pogs trying to keep everyone off the soccer field?
Maybe they had it out for groundskeeper Billy. Wait, that's it?
The Pogmoles have it out for groundskeeper Billy?
No, they wanted to keep groundskeeper Billy out. Come on, we don't have much time.
But wait, why don't we just use the time radio?
Leave it, but grab your binoculars. Good. Groundskeeper Billy is still working on the field.
How is that good? It means the field is still infested with moles.
It means we still have time. My problem solver senses tell me someone wanted to keep Groundskeeper Billy out of the equipment shed after school today. The question is, why?
Only one way to find out.
What is that outside the shed?
Looks like an antenna.
That's new, right?
Beats me. I don't usually hang out in the equipment shed, but it definitely seems out of place.
Let's get a little closer.
I think somebody's in there. Who is that?
Pass me the binoculars. Yep. I know! It's Charlene!
Holy cow! What is she doing in there?
She seems to be printing something.
Printing? In the equipment shed?
Yep. But it's on a long roll of paper.
Like a scroll? Does it say, hear ye, at the top?
No, it's just a long roll of white paper.
I wonder if it's a dot matrix printer.
A what?
A dot matrix printer. It was an early type of computer printer that often used long spools of paper. Can I see the binoculars? Yep, that's a dot matrix, all right. Strange that she would be using that.
Almost as strange as you knowing what a dot matrix printer is. Can you make out what's on the paper?
No. Hold on. The antenna, the printer. Charlene isn't printing something. She's receiving a signal. Look.
I see. This has Pogs written all over it.
Really? Is that what the paper says?
No, not on the paper. It's a figure of speech.
Oh. Shh, quiet. She's coming out.
She put the printout in her bag and is packing up the antenna.
She's gone. Looks like we can add Charlene to the list of Pogmole suspects at our school.
Yep. Along with Mr. Avogadro and Mr. Zimmer.
I wonder if it's a higher percentage than me being able to guess your card for my magic trick.
Let's find out. We have 3 suspects with 2 options each, mole or not mole. To calculate the number of scenarios, we'd use the formula for permutations with repetition, or n to the power of r, where n equals the number of options and r equals the number of suspects.
So 2 options to the power of 3 suspects converts to 2 times 2 times 2, which equals 8 possible scenarios. Hey, I think we can handle that.
Thing is, according to this calculation, only a single scenario doesn't involve one of the suspects being a mole.
So, in other words, there's a 7/8 chance that we have a pog mole in our school.
Or, if you divide 7 by 8 and multiply it by 100, you get an 87.5% chance.
Which leaves a 1/8 or 12.5% chance we don't.
There's also a 1/8 or 12.5% chance that all 3 suspects are pog moles.
I like our chances.
Gulp is right. This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Dan Gold and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, Taya Garland, Chris Okawa, and Mike Praviti. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert and is an Atomic Audio production.